Great to see so many people in here today. You are in the room for Mobility 223, bringing it all together with Enterprise Mobility Suite. And basically, we're going to talk to you a little bit at the beginning about what Enterprise Mobility Suite is, and then we'll show you lots of stuff. How many people here saw the keynote and the EMS stuff in that? Well, hopefully most people were at the keynote. Really, really good demos. We're going to go a little bit deeper than that and show you a little bit more behind the scenes on what's going there. But I want to start off by making sure that everyone's clear on what Enterprise Mobility Suite is. What do you get in the box, as it were? And sort of articulate a bit why it's a valuable suite. Why is it a good thing to group these products together? The next thing we're going to do is give you a view from the user's perspective, a day in the life with EMS. We'll show you a bunch of demos of EMS working in action. And just basically demonstrate how it makes users' lives easy. And as good as it is for users to have easy lives, it's a bit scary for IT. So we'll then flip it over and show how the IT side view of the world looks and how even though the user's life is made easy, IT still has a lot of control. All right, so that's the plan. I'm Craig Pringle. I'm the Cloud and Infrastructure Practice Manager for NZIST. It means I lead a team of architects and engineers who go and design and build cloud-based solutions for our customers. And I'm joined on the stage today by Derek Moir.
Yeah, hi everybody. My name's Derek Moir. I work for Microsoft. I'm based out of Singapore. And I lead the Enterprise Mobility Suite, which is what we're going to be talking about today, across all of Asia. So, thanks, Craig.
All right. So, let's get into it. First off, let's start with what is the Enterprise Mobility Suite. And basically, there's three core products in the suite. You can buy each of these individually. That's absolutely fine. But really, I think as Brad highlighted in the keynote presentation, it begins with identity, and that's Azure AD Premium. That's basically your identity in the cloud. The next component is the mobile device and application management, which is Windows Intune. You can buy that separately as well. And it brings a bunch of functionality there. And last but not least is the rights management, protecting the data at the source. And there's a suite of tools in the RMS. And a lot of people look at this and they think, actually, I get that with Office 365, don't I? Because Office 365 it does use Azure AD as a directory. You can do some app and mobile device management from the Office 365 portal. You get RMS with 365.
Just for the people at the back, there's a couple of seats up here at the front. Sorry, Craig.
That's right. That's fine. And to an extent, that's correct. You do get some of this stuff with Office 365. But the thing to bear in mind with all of these products, they're a superset of what you get in Office 365. So there's a different additional functionality that you get when you buy AD Premium that you don't get, and that's things like the self-service password reset and multi-factor authentication is a lot more powerful in the Premium version. Just as a note, for all of these products in the slide deck, so you'll be able to download the slides at the end, I've got some great slides that I stole from Microsoft. but it gives me a nice tabular view of here's the functions and features you get in the 365 version. Here's the ones you get in the Premium versions. So when you grab the slide deck, grab those out the back of it. I won't put them up here because they don't display well on a big screen, but they're really good reference material. So make sure you have a look at that down the track. All right. So why is this important? I think no one's going to argue with this. Mobility is just normal these days. There's some interesting stats there. I'm sure that in this room, this audience, those numbers will be massively skewed and much higher. But we're the leading indicator for what's going to happen to the rest of the organizations out there. So like two-thirds of employees are working using personal devices for work. And again, I do that all the time. And they're saying by 2020, a quarter of the software will be available as SaaS. I tell my customers, if you're looking to replace a line of business app, look for a SaaS version. Look for something you can deploy as software as a service and make sure that integration with Azure AD Premium is one of your feature lists. Because you know what? When you've been running applications in your environment, that's how you've been treating Active Directory. You don't go looking for applications that don't integrate with Active Directory. Identity is moving to the cloud. Applications are moving to the cloud. Make sure they talk. And last but not least, you know, everyone works away from the desk. You know, again, in this room, that would be massively high. I mean, most of you are working now. I can see it. So this is just the situation that we're dealing with. And what's driving that, Derek?
Yeah, so let me talk you through some of this change and try and help you understand where we think about where mobility is coming from and why we think the driving factors are what they are. And also, you know, given that we're an IT audience, how that plays out to us and how we support our end users. The key thing here is over on this far side, we've got the user who wants to be able to be mobile, who wants to be able to have their ability to roam where they want to roam, use their apps where they want to use their apps. They shift their life in different ways in the way that they're accessing their data. They'll sit on a train and they'll access their data on a train, or they'll get up in the morning and they'll check their email as they're making their cup of coffee in the morning or getting the kids dressed for school. And so they need to be able to do that because that's what they want to do, and business wants them to do that because we get further productivity out of them as a result of providing those capabilities. Over on this other side, we've got the old IT department going, how do I make this secure? How do I keep this data safe so that I'm not losing important information, right? That's extending, though, beyond the likes of email. You know, if we go back a few years ago, it was the word was the BlackBerry. Everybody had a BlackBerry. Everybody ran around and punched out emails on their BlackBerry. And I'm sure there's a lot of us in the audience that had one of them at some point in time, right? But that's now started to move into the app ecosystem, and there's so many different apps that are coming out that are actually business-focused. It started with the consumer world, you know, and games and Angry Birds and all those exciting things, but as we move forward, we're starting to see, you know, automation applications like our CRM coming down onto your devices, and how do you use that when you're out with a customer, right? And then the probably the most important thing is all of a sudden, you know, I've got 64 gig worth of space in my back pocket, and how do I manage that and control that data and know that my data is safe, right? And so as a user, it's about smashing all of this together and being super functional. But as an IT perspective, it's about making sure that we've got that level of security. And it's about this massive intermesh of actual usage and the way that people use this technology that's driving that change. So how do we do this? We need to enable our users, right? We need to enable our IT department to protect it. And so there's the three pillars that Craig talked about there earlier on, about hybrid identity, about giving that person identity. That person's identity has to be at the heart of everything they do. We want that person to be that person on whatever device they want, which means they need to get access to all of their applications and all of their information and their data from which device they want to use, right? And so we do that through hybrid identity with Azure AD Premium, right? We provide a level of security around management of those devices. There's plenty of vendors out in the market. I think we have some unique features that we're going to show you today that sort of differentiate how we do that, especially around making that end user productive, right? That's the key part. How do we make that end user productive with the tools that they're using and they're comfortable with using, right? And then, you know, the final one, tracking that data. It's great to put it in a secure box and lock it away, but what happens if I can get that data out and email it to someone? I've lost control of it. We want to maintain control of that data for the entirety of its life if it's company data that we want to own, right? If I'm a manufacturer and I want to send a drawing, you know, of the latest, diesel motor to a manufacturer, then I want them to be able to not share that information to my competitors, right? And so how do I control that capability, right? And then the one at the top, and it's an interesting one, which is desktop virtualization. You know, that fits in this overall conversation, right? So application and desktop virtualization are absolutely mission critical in being able to deliver this. The difference is why is it not part of what we do with EMS? Is because typically that doesn't hit the entire enterprise. We are not necessarily hitting the SaaS users who need to sign in to their SaaS application across the entire enterprise. This is specific use cases only. It has a place and it fits in this conversation, which is why it's up here on the slide. It's just not an end-to-end scenario. And so what I thought I would do is sort of take you through the evolution of, you know, sort of how mobility and how we think about mobility has gotten us to where we are today and how EMS and its technology has actually evolved. right? So if we start at the laptop, that was our first level of mobility. Let me just go back. You know, it cost a bit of money with some risk in there. We went out, we produced some technologies around, you know, typical technologies like BitLocker to secure that device or encryption in folders. From there, we started to see some more devices, and so what we did was we actually went out and we created a silo for MDM, and everybody's familiar with this, and we actually, you know, mitigated that risk by adding cost, and so this was our second silo that was introduced. SaaS apps came along, so people started signing into this, and we needed identity solutions over and beyond what we had on-premise today and how we actually got access to that. And so we created another silo that we actually put in place for users to get access to it. Then the data scenario came where how do I manage that data? How do I make sure that that data is secure as it goes out to my end users and beyond those users to the next person, right? How do I track that data? How do I have the ability to pull it back from that person if I don't want them to have it anymore, right? If they leave my organization, how can I be comfortable that they haven't taken that data on a CD, for example? CD's a bit old now, I guess.
Show your age, right?
stuck it in a cloud storage somewhere. And then, you know, it's this whole anywhere model, right? Because this is really where all of this stuff starts to converge, and you can go out to any app store and download any number of different products and be able to securely do that. And so how do you actually do that? And then the actual VDI and the RDS type scenarios that we're actually using today, and how do I secure that? And then it's this next big thing, right? So how do we actually put ourselves in a position that the next Uber that comes into the world is a manageable type solution for a business, right? How do we position ourselves and actually have some forward thought about doing that? If we stay back in these particular silos, we go and buy the best of breed MDM solution or the best of breed of that, the best of breed of the next thing. How do we actually get ourselves to be able to support this? Well, we probably have to buy another thing, right? That doesn't make a lot of sense. Right, and so that scenario here is EMS is a technology that we continue to add to. As most of you are very familiar with, Microsoft are the bundle kings. We tend to continually add technologies into the suite to make sure that you're more secure, to make sure that you got more functionality. And that's purely what this is about. It's about addressing that next big thing. It's about having a future state. It's about retiring the silos of technology that you have in your organizations today. Sort of talk through that slide a little bit quick there. So bringing this all together, being able to control this environment from here across, and then being able to address these areas as we move forward. Great.
Very good. All right, so I'll just swap over to one we prepared earlier. Do you want to just
swap those
cables for us?
You'd be happy to know that was the last slide. I just pulled out the cable for these slides.
Yep. Cool. So, just minimize that. So what we're going to do is we're going to start with a bit of a scenario here. And I'm like, this is a day in life. First up, but from a user perspective, how do users actually interact with EMS on a day-to-day basis? The first thing we're going to show you is domain join a Windows 10 machine. While I'm setting this up, I'll just keep talking as well. This is something that a lot of you probably won't do in your organizations. I'm showing it to you because there's specific use cases where it's useful, but it's not for everyone. I just want to sort of demonstrate, I suppose, what it is and what benefits it gives you so that you can then use that to judge if it's right for your scenario or not.
This is a vanilla box. It's straight out of, it's just a straight standard Windows 10 install with a copy of Office put on top. There's no tricks and wizardry behind this. To be 100% honest, and if you could all give us a second and give us a pray, we actually haven't even tested the actual join, so let's see how this works, shall we? This is how confident we are.
All right, so basically we just go in here, we go add a work school account.
When we talk about the silos, one of the features that we offer as part of Azure AD Premium is the ability to offer a multi-factor authentication. Many of you probably have one of those solutions in place today. Part of this domain join functionality that we're...
Uh-huh. Typo, sorry. No, that's good.
Proves that it's actually not a not a canned demo.
Yeah.
It's not a click-through, it's real. So the multi-factor authentication. So Craig's going to be prompted to put in a PIN. If he gets his password right. There we go.
Third time's a charm, no?
No. You got a D in after Ignite.
No, that's right. Insist Ignited is correct. Caps lock's not on. That's interesting.
Type it again. Demo gods are not being friendly.
Sorry about this, guys. Let me just
check there's no space at the front of your name.
Yeah. Interesting.
Do you want to move on to the next demo?
Yeah, if you want to, I'll kind of use an account for everything, so we need to sort of fix that.
Apologies, people.
Just bear with us a moment, guys. I'll sort this out.
Just going to reset the password and redo it.
Gareth F.
Yeah, Gareth F. Yeah. They'll be logging in as admin. Well, you can't. It won't be tied to your phone. It won't be tied to your phone. I was going to say log in as admin, but it's going to be tied to your phone.
Yeah, I'm logging in as admin now, but I'll just reset. So just bear with me, guys. I'm just using the other computer. I'm just going to reset the password and carry on. So apologies for that. So we go to the right portal.
Just while Craig's doing that, can I just maybe ask a couple of questions? Anybody know of EMS before they went to the keynote this morning? That's actually pretty good. I'm glad. I'd be disappointed. Is anybody using EMS today in their businesses? Oh, wow. Okay. That's great. All right. Let's try again, shall we?
Demo gods are not being kind. I've just got the Azure portal spinning as well at the moment, so it's not loading, so I can reset it. Not working. What we'll do is we'll just move on from this one. Let me start by explaining, I suppose, when you do Azure Domain Join a machine. So there's a couple of scenarios that make a lot of sense. And the thing I wanted to show you first before I actually talk through this was, how many of you have seen the My Apps portal if you're using Office 365? And are you using that with a domain join machine or just an Azure AD domain join machine? So the experience is quite different with an Azure AD domain join machine. When you hit the My Apps portal with and your Azure AD joined, it just passes through. There is no logon from the user, so you get that seamless single-on experience to the My Apps portal. And then when you go into the subsequent applications, it'll pass through the single sign-on credentials. So it's a much more seamless experience. And that's what leads to it being, you know, the first use case for an Azure AD domain join machine is when most of your applications are SaaS-based applications. And if they're accessed by that apps portal, and you're not running a lot of applications on your own premises, then Azure AD joining the machine makes a really, really good user experience, if you can log in. All right.
Where are they almost there?
Go to domains.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other scenario that's really good for Azure AD joining machines is when they are temporary or contract users, and you're giving them a machine, you just join it to Azure AD, and at the end of their stint, you revoke their access, and it's gone. There's nothing required. Right, so it's finally loaded. Let's just
do a quick password reset.
It's bizarre.
Just try it one more time. Just give it a second to.
Sorry.
Yeah, that one. Yeah. Did you get remember the password?
Yeah. Let's reset it again. Still not like it. Sorry about that, guys.
You change your password to what you know.
Once you make a mistake and get a bit flustered, I can just throw you.
There we go.
All right, so that's good. Yeah, got the mobile, it's all good. So what we're doing now is waiting for an SMS message, and we've set up multi-factor authentication with this so that it sends me a SMS eventually, and then we will crack that in and move on.
this is a one-time multi-factor authentication password. So once he punches this in, it's identified him as who he is. And then because there was a device tied directly to him, it enables him to sign into this portal without knowing that it is actually him, potentially. Yeah, it is.
Mean. It's a Windows Phone 10 bug. It's hiding behind the keyboard. There we go. That's the right one.
Challenge is we need this account for the rest of the demonstration, which is why we couldn't move on from this.
Cool.
That was just to letting him change a password. That was letting him change his password because we had to reset his password. Now we need to get the authentication code to log us into the account. There we go. If this works, I think it needs a round of applause because it's finally going to happen.
Yeah. The demo gods can be cruel sometimes. All right, all good. So the first one was the multi-factor, as Derek was saying. The first one was multi-factor. Multi-factor auth for the password reset. This is the multi-factor auth for the domain join, which is what we should have seen all along.
The very first time. So we wind back 8 or 9, maybe 10 minutes ago.
Yeah. Oh, right. And the last thing we'll need to do is basically sign out and sign in again as that account.
We can just move on if you want.
Yeah. All right, so I won't actually do that. We'll call some time back. We've got, what I was going to show you was that sign-in experience, but I've just explained it, so we'll just carry on. All right. Okay, so the next thing I was going to show you. All right, nicely. Is hopefully this works, or I'm just going to.
So the idea was we were going to show you nice, seamlessly roaming once we'd signed into that that portal as that user, the ability to see the apps that were available to that user and then move across to a secondary device. It's Microsoft, as you've probably seen, we've undergone a bit of a transformation, and you know, we now support a plethora of devices. You know, we are open to any devices. We understand that customers have requirements, they have existing platforms, and as a result, that's enabled us to really open up and be able to support all of these devices so that people get the choice of what they want to use, yet they still get to use the best apps in class and the best management solution around that in class to be able to do that. So.
Right. World's most secure demo password. It's just not signing me in. Yeah, it's on.
Wow.
Wow, this has worked so many times in practice. It's insane. All right. What we'll do is we'll.
You guys didn't sacrifice the chicken.
It's been a great time. What can I say?
Sacrificed the cow last night at Moomoo's. That was pretty good. All right. All right.
notice at the sign-on page redirected him to the company-branded portal when he put in his email address there that helped them identify that it was actually a registered user within the system.
So I think we killed the last gremlin on that demo. So this is then the My Apps portal. So this is, if we'd seen the demo on the Windows 10 box, it would look very similar. So you hit a web page, you go to portal.office.com/myapps, and you get all your software app as a service applications delivered up in the portal. This then on a iPad with that same My Apps application installed will show the same applications in the view, and it's easy enough to go and launch one of those. So I hit Twitter, and you'll see that will actually just redirect through, and it'll pop the username and account in for me. Just click log in. And in this case, this particular user doesn't actually even know that password. This is the Twitter account for NSYS Ignited, who's having fun demonstrating things at Ignite. Twitter account is shared across the entire marketing department, so any marketing employee can access this through their MyApps portal, but they don't know the password.
Which is a really important part, right? So when we look at what role social media plays in today's organizations, if a disgruntled employee left and knew the Twitter password or their Facebook password, then they could easily go ahead and actually, put some stuff up onto the web that is not very savory. As a result, through Azure AD Premium, we're able to protect the organization and control that from an IT perspective, where the people that use the tool are assigned the tool because they are who we say they are, but at the same time, they will never know that password. Thus, if they leave the organization, they cannot take it with them.
And even if it's, sorry, you had a question? So they can change the password, but that you can also set up Twitter to send you an email notification and verification via SMS, so you can prevent them from doing that as well. That's a good question. Sorry, did everyone hear the question? It was, couldn't the user just go into Twitter and change the password? And they can, but you can also prevent that from happening. Yep. So there's auditing for all the application accesses. So you can see which user account actually accessed the software as a service application. And even if it's not malicious from someone within your organization, I know, has anyone ever had their corporate Twitter account hacked? It's not that uncommon. And that's because, the users who are setting up those Twitter accounts are not necessarily IT people in the past, right? And they've put in passwords that are weak, and weak passwords get hacked. So this is protecting people from themselves as well as protecting you from a malicious employee. It's not just about stopping your disgruntled employee. It's also stopping the nefarious person outside who's out there trying to brute force attack your password. Cool. All right, so just moving on now. Where's that gone?
It's because you went to sleep.
Yeah, sorry. Yep. I was talking too much. All right, so the next thing we wanted to show you. Just close a few things. You can tell I'm not an iPad user. Next thing I wanted to show you was conditional access for email. This is a really powerful feature. So while I do this, if a user has a personal iPad and they want, without asking IT, they want to go and add their corporate email to that, what are they going to do? They're going to go to the native application and add a profile. So I'm just going to do that, and you can fill my gap.
So can I just get a show of hands? Does anybody know what conditional access is? Okay, that's good. There's one person in the audience. So most people are pretty familiar with the way most of the vendors today are offering email access, right? So they're creating a container, they're giving you a mail client, and essentially they're controlling that mail client within that environment. So we've done it very, very differently, right? So what we've done is essentially we make the users very familiar with the interface, so you use one particular email account. And what we're doing is we're giving the users that one email account to use both their personal email and their work email. But we're conditionally controlling what they can do with their work email. Their personal email is theirs, and we're going to show you some demos as to how this works. But think of it this way. We're splitting the application in half, personal and work. You, as IT admins, own that work part. You control. You can say you can't control, copy, you can't copy, you can't paste. You know, you can't save files to my file shares or to, you know, OneDrive or Dropbox or whatever tool you're using, right? We control that. On the flip side, within that same application, in their own personal email, they can do what they want, right? The reality is they can't forward the mail from their work account. The minute they try to do that, those capabilities aren't there, right? So we're giving them that functionality, but we're doing that across the whole Office suite, right? So in the same aspect, if you want to open an email from your email, open an attachment from your email into Word, for example, then you can do that, right? And that same conditional access features will flow across into that, right? This is where a lot of the other vendors get unstuck, because when they try to open up into Word, they're starting to lose control of what's actually happening with that document. Right? So maybe we'll...
All right, so what we can see here is, like, I've done what a user would do. I put in my email address, it's auto-discovered, I put in my password, and it's synced down exactly one message, which isn't in my mailbox, and it just says, you're not allowed to do this. Click here to get started to enroll your device. And just to save a bit of time, I've got the company portal, which I've installed on here earlier. And what I'm going to have to do is enroll the device. And if I clicked on the link, that's what the email would have told me. It's like, you need to enroll your device before you carry on with configuring it. And it has to be compliant before we'll sync any corporate data down to it.
Super secret password.
Yeah. My account's getting deleted later today, so don't worry about it. There's unfortunately no way to demo this without exposing that password. So, all right. Now, as you can see, or can't see yet. Okay, there we go. As soon as you log in, it says, look, you need to enroll this device. We'll just click on enroll. Just going to think about it a bit more, churning the bits. Send me another text. Another one-time password just to prove that I am who I say I am.